We're joined by Republican businessman John Cox, a candidate for governor in 2018. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ben. Pleasure to be with you.
All right, so let's start with the obvious question. Why are you running for governor?
The state has been rendered unaffordable by the politicians in Sacramento. It's got the worst business climate in the country. We're a laughingstock, and I want to change that. I'm a businessman. I've worked for 40 years to build a business, and I'm just disgusted with the political class in Sacramento that keeps making life more expensive. We've got the highest water bills, the highest electricity bills, the highest gasoline and gas tax. Of course, we've got the highest income and sales taxes in the country. The housing prices are out of sight. And on top of that, we've got a political class that has just given away the store to state workers to the extent that we have a $1 trillion unfunded pension liability, nothing put away for retiree health care. This is not a functioning state. We're careening towards a disaster. I don't want to see that happen, and I want to make sure it's sustainable for my 12-year-old daughter.
So that might be an explanation of what you see as being wrong with California and with California policy and politics, but it's not necessarily an argument for why you should run for governor. So why you as opposed to any of the other candidates in the race? And there are a lot of other candidates.
Well, good point. And it's the politicians that have messed things up. And I'm running against five politicians. I'm a businessman. 19 states around the country have already elected businessmen. It happens to be they're all men, including blue states like Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan. I'm a CPA and an attorney and a businessman, just like Rick Snyder in Michigan. And if you know what's happened in Michigan, it's really turned around. I think that's a track record that will maybe give the people of California some confidence that things can get turned around here.
What do you like about what Jerry Brown has done as governor, and what do you dislike?
Well, it'd be hard to really say. I mean, I guess the one thing that I actually have liked about him is that he's tried to exercise some measure of adult supervision up there, which is not saying a lot given some of the stuff that Governor Brown has done over the years. But you know, I mean, some of this stuff against President Trump is just bordering on the surreal and ridiculous. And he's vetoed a chunk of it. Unfortunately, he didn't veto some of the most ridiculous stuff, like the sanctuary state bill. You know, what I don't like is that he has established almost no measure of fiscal rectitude in this government. I mean, the budget keeps going up. They've not done anything substantive about attacking pensions. They've done a little bit on the margins, but nothing really substantial. They've tried, they say, to do something about housing, and then he signs a bill that purports to make housing affordable, but it raises prevailing wages for union workers who work on homes, which experts say drives up the cost $40,000, $50,000 a home. So with one hand, the legislature is handing out some subsidies to a few lucky people. On the other hand, they're taking it away by driving up the cost. This is ridiculous.
The California Republican Party, like the National Republican Party, there's this split that everyone talks about between the Trump wing and the establishment wing, the business-friendly wing, you might say. You're a businessman. One might assume that as a businessman, you might fall more in the establishment camp. Do you?
No, I wouldn't say that. I'm a small businessman. I'm not a crony. I'm not one who gives money to politicians to get favors. And I think that marks me as anti-establishment. I'm about best practices. I'm about doing the right thing for the state of California. And if that involves using an idea that a Democrat comes up with, I'll do it. Now, as a Republican, who started out, by the way, as a Democrat, I come to the Republican Party because I believe in people being able to solve problems and the private sector solving problems much better than government.
We're talking with Republican businessman John Cox, who's running for governor in 2018. If I understand correctly, you did not vote for President Trump last year. You've since said that you support him and support what he's doing in Washington. Is that accurate, or what's your view on the president?
Yeah, I approached that election in 2016, like a lot of Americans, I certainly wasn't going to vote for Hillary Clinton. By the same token, though, you know, Donald Trump had given money to Hillary and given money to Chuck Schumer many times. He had made a few statements about having, you know, government expand health care in some respects, and I thought it should, you know, not be involved in health care. I was concerned about his personality and about his style. So I voted for Gary Johnson, which was not a good choice in many ways, but it was a bad choice all the way around. And I will say today, sitting here today, that it was a mistake. Knowing what President Trump has done in terms of signing rollbacks of regulation, in terms of putting Betsy DeVos at Education and Scott Gottlieb at FDA, those were both horribly run agencies. In terms of the tax reform he's trying to put forth, I fundamentally agree in reducing marginal tax rates. I am very impressed with his Supreme Court choice, Neil Gorsuch, so I love that. So I'm very, very supportive of the things he got. I mean, I had great hopes for George W. Bush, and to me, he's a big disappointment because he raised spending and he increased the size of government. A lot of conservatives like me felt that was a betrayal. I was not interested in repeating that, but so far, President Trump has come through on reducing regulation, reducing the size of government.
Speaking of putting money into political causes, it's something that you've done. You've attempted to fund initiatives, a neighborhood legislature initiative, and what you called a NASCAR-style campaign finance reform, where lawmakers on the floor of the Senate and Assembly would have to wear patches with the logos of their largest donors. Now you're going to put some money into the gas tax repeal effort, correct?
Yeah, I've signed on to be a chairman of the Give Voters a Voice effort to repeal the gas tax constitutionally so it can't be put back in. Well, you know, it's all part of the same piece, Ben, and that is I believe that government does so much damage. It does a lot of good things, don't get me wrong, but it also, because it's usually in the hands of cronies and campaign funders, especially in California right now, it's really damaging a lot of things. The NASCAR idea, you know, you referred to was an effort to call attention to a system that's basically indefensible.
Your initiative could have been described as a bit of a stunt itself.
It was. It was to call attention to the problem. The solution, though, is the neighborhood legislature, because, and I've looked at so many solutions to campaign finance. You know, we've tried so many things in this country. Limits on contributions, limits on spending, public financing. They don't work. And the reason they don't work is as long as the districts and the campaigns are driven by media and television and radio, they're going to be expensive. And the people who are elected are going to have to dance to the tune of the people who give the money. So the only solution that I think I found that would really open up the process and get rid of the power of money is to make the money unnecessary. And that's this idea of a neighborhood legislature, where all the districts are so tiny, you get elected by going door to door.
You've put money into those measures, but then you've stopped. If a voter strongly believes that the gas tax should be repealed, and a lot of Republicans do, and they see you've put your name and you say you're going to put your money behind it, how can they trust that you'll follow through with that?
Well, wait a minute. The NASCAR one, we collected some signatures. We did it, as you say, as a stunt to basically illustrate the problem. We were collecting signatures, and Jerry Brown went in with, you know, millions of dollars and drove up the cost of signature gathering, so we abandoned that. But that
the governor was gathering signatures for his own measures on a tight timeline, so
yeah.
The signature gathering companies started charging a lot of money, and it got to be very expensive.
Yeah, and I said that's not the measure that I want to get qualified, so I abandoned that. The neighborhood legislature, we hope to get that qualified, so I'm following through. There's no question I'm following through.
How many signatures are you submitting?
Well over 800,000, so we think it'll be qualified.
Do you think it'll be constitutional?
Absolutely.
Should California have a full-time legislature?
I'll give that to the people to decide. The neighborhood legislature will probably make themselves part-time. They won't be fundraisers. Remember, when you're elected in a real tiny district, I'm talking only 5,000 people here, Ben, you're not going to need to raise money. You're going to, you know, basically almost know everybody in your district. And that way, the funders lose power. I think that's going to be a very attractive thing to a lot of people.
You believe that it has a shot at passage?
Oh, I think when people understand it and know about it. You know, the trouble is that the media, some members of the media, not you, have floated the headline, oh, it's 12,000 legislators, as if 12,000 people are going to be sent to Sacramento. And, of course, that's not what happens. The neighborhood legislature involves assembling these 12,000 districts statewide, but 99% of those people stay home. They send a committee of 120 people to Sacramento to do all the work, and the 12,000 people that are in the neighborhoods go about their life and keep tabs on the people in Sacramento.
Why couldn't the 120 people who go to Sacramento be targeted by special interests and lobbyists and fall prey to the same challenges that you see befalling the current legislature?
Well, they could, but remember, each one of those 120 people has to get elected each time in their little tiny district. And so let's say you're one of those people that goes to Sacramento, Ben, and I live in your district, and I'm going to run against you, and I'm going to go door to door with a record of all the money you've raised, and I'm going to tell every one of our neighbors, look, Ben's a nice guy, he's on radio, he's a nice guy, but he went to Sacramento and raised a whole bunch of money from a lot of people that want something from government. I'm not going to do that. Elect me. Now, who do you think is going to win that election?
Finally, the California Republican Party has less than 26% of registered California voters, no statewide office holders, and super minorities in the legislature. What do you believe is the best path back to relevance for California Republicans? Is it with President Trump? Is it with the business community and industry groups? Is it somewhere in between?
Listen, Maryland has a Republican registration of 20%, but the governor of Maryland is Larry Hogan, who's about my age, has white hair like I do, is a real estate guy like I do, and happens to be a conservative Republican like me. And his approval rating now, he's been in office for almost three years, his approval rating is 75%. I would submit to you that the people of California want a better state. They want life affordable. They want a business climate that actually allows small business to operate. I believe they'll be very, very happy to hear my message and will not only elect me governor, but will make me one of the most popular governors in the country. And I'll love nothing better because I'll be making life better here for my family as well as yours and everybody else's.
John Cox, a Republican businessman who's running for governor of California in 2018. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it.